This week's quick reminder comes from Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 12. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. Last week, we were in the few verses back to verse 32 to 35 before this passage. And we saw that as believers, we are to be living with great megas, mega power and grace. We also saw that this greatness conveys miraculousness. So this power and this grace does not originate with us, but with Christ. In today's passage, we find that it is impossible to live in this great power and grace with lying actions. George MacDonald wrote, half of the misery in the world comes from trying to look instead of trying to be what one is not. And Warren Wiersbe once said, we must not think that failure to reach our ideals is hypocrisy, because no believer lives up to all that he or she knows or has in the Lord. Hypocrisy is deliberate deception, trying to make people think we are more spiritual than we really are. Well, looking at this passage here, according to verses 1 and 3 and 8 to 9, Ananias and Sapphira are guilty of deliberately lying to God. They chose to serve God and the others in their own way, their own understanding, with their own reasoning, which is opposed to what we saw last week in the previous verses. And we find that this lie of living by our own understanding is energized by Satan and not by the Holy Spirit, according to verses 3 and 4. So it's Satan and not God that they are serving. If Satan can't get the church from outside like he tried to do in chapter 4 of Acts, then he tries from inside. We see this in Jude 4 and Galatians 1. He will come into the church and try to take the church from within using us. I also find it interesting in this passage the term of fear. We see great fear both in verses 5 and 11. And I think it's interesting that in our context, this great fear is associated with the obedient members of the church and not Ananias and Sapphira. This fear, this phobos, means alarm or fright, to be afraid. Vine gives some more commentary on it when he says this, it's not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him, a fear which banishes the terror that shrinks from his presence. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Vine goes on to say that it is that which influences, this fear is that which influences the disposition and attitude of one whose circumstances are guided by trust in God through the indwelling Spirit of God. In chapter 9 of Acts and in verse 31, we see this displayed. Verse 31 of chapter 9 says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." This fear is not disabling, it is enabling. One who lives miserably and stagnantly does not fear God. But one who both lives victoriously and who moves by faith in Christ does fear God and lives great, lives mega, megas. Healthy fear found in the truth of who Jesus is enables us to live with confidence in any situation we may face today. As a little boy, about 5 years old, I remember visiting our grandparents on the family ranch. One morning, I was accompanying my grandpa and my dad as we walked into a large cattle pen that was holding about 30 head of cows. I walked near my dad, who was calmly and slowly, which I didn't like the slow part as a little guy, he was just walking calmly and slowly through the cattle, and I was amazed to find that the cows would orderly just move out of the way. I got so comfortable with this that I thought I would venture off on my own and do so at my own pace, my own way, which was by running right at the cows and yelling at the top of my lungs. As you can imagine, this only caused confusion and panic among the cattle, and they started running and darting in several different directions at the same time. Without meaning to, I found myself in a very dangerous position as a little guy, with the real possibility of being trampled. My dad sprang into action. He immediately made his way to me. He calmed the cows down, as I could not, and then he looked at me, began to explain that I needed to walk with him at his pace with his demeanor. So in other words, you need to walk with me my way. I found immediately that I was very much afraid to have to take another step without doing it my dad's way. The right fear of God doesn't leave us without him in a place of dread, but it keeps us living dependent with him in reliance on him because of who he is. Jesus says in Matthew 28:30, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Healthy fear found in the truth of who Jesus is enables us to live with confidence in any situation we may face today. This is just what the early church came to know. As you go on and you work your way through the rest of the chapter, you'll find that living in this great fear displayed with dependence upon the Lord, that signs and wonders were seen at the hands of the apostles, verse 12. They were held in high esteem in verse 13. there were believers added to them in verse 14. The sick and possessed were healed in verses 15 to 16. The religious leaders were filled with jealousy at all of this, and they imprisoned the believers, the apostles, in verses 17 to 19. An angel released them and told them to go preach the message of this life in verses 19 to 21. The religious leaders again tell them, "We've told you to stop teaching in the name of Jesus." And their reply in verse 29 was, "We fear," and this is key in all of this, "we fear God, not man." In other words, we must, as it's actually worded in the verse, we must obey God rather than man. Peter goes on and he preaches Christ in verses 30 to 32. This is all happening in the fear of God, a dependence upon him, on his son Jesus. And then it ends in verses 40 to 42. They kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What circumstance is there today for you to, by faith, live great in? To live with great power, great grace? Will you face it with the lie of your own understanding, your own way, your own sense? Or will you live by faith in Christ? Will you face it with great fear of not dealing with it in the presence and power of Jesus? My name is Kelly Daugherty, and I'm the host of the His Hill Podcast. This has been a quick reminder of that ministry. We drop our longer episodes every Thursday morning. This week, we'll be sharing a sermon preached by Ryan McCall, who is our director, Charlie McCall's son. The message will come from 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 12. So please make sure to listen in. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can do so by email, and that address is Kelly, and that's K-E-L-L-Y, at hishill.org. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.